Han. There's my breaking news music that comes in at the beginning of my show, a Progressive Life show. And I think that if I go over here to the phone line, we'll have Dr. Feynman. Are you there, Dr. Feynman?
Yes, and you're loud.
You know what? Scott found out what the problem was.
What was it?
Well, you know what a pot is in radio? A pot is a little volume control. And there's I have you on our phone pot, which I always have all the way up, and then at the top of my pot, I have me all the way up, but way up at the top, there's a little twisty pot, and it has some corrosion in the pot, and therefore if it's set wrong, I can't hear my own self, and when that happens, you can't hear me either. So now I've got it so I can hear you, and apparently you can hear me. I love it.
Well, I hope it continues.
Me too.
All I'm asking is to be able to hear you.
Scott said to me, just wiggle that little round pot at the top and see what happens, and sure enough, all of a sudden I could hear better, and there you are.
Great.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Now we got to get a technician in here to clean that pot and make sure it stays that way.
Okay, good. Yeah, I wanted to mention that I heard part of the last hour, and I wanted to make a statement.
Sure.
I noticed Scott said that I, quote, love George Washington. That is not the case. I respect George Washington because he's one of the top three presidents. John Adams is not. And I know he loves John Adams, but I'm just saying George Washington made a massive difference to the country in accepting the idea of limits in office, that he decided two terms was enough, and that he was not desiring to be king for life or monarch for life, unlike Donald Trump. So the issue is not loving, it's respecting the significance of George Washington. And John Adams certainly had his contributions to make, no question, but he also signed into law the Alien and Sedition Acts, which curbed civil liberties and caused his own downfall in 1800. So he has some good points, but he also has some bad points, and he's not reelected, and that's why he's rated in like 15 to 20, somewhere in that range among presidents.
Okay, now let me ask you a question, since you brought that up about Donald Trump. Do you truly believe that he was wanted to go on and become a lifetime leader? Did he want to be a dictator of the United States?
Well, I think if he had been reelected, I think we would be having the end of our constitutional government, and it would still be the case if he was reelected. That's why the Electoral Vote Count Act of 1887 must be strengthened so that it cannot happen that he can manipulate with the electoral votes as he was trying to do, because he was involved in horrendous abuse of power and what he was trying to do. And thank God, people who were loyal Republicans, and many of them even have voted for Trump, such as this Rusty Bowers in Arizona and also Brad Ratzenberger in Georgia, still did the right thing. But the future is unsettled, and we have a danger of this man coming back to office.
Now, Scott did send me a message while we were talking here, and it says, I'm going to read it to you, I respect Adams, not love him.
Adams, not Adam.
LOL. He put at the end of that. Well, I don't think either one of you are gay to historic characters. So.
Well, suddenly you're talking low. I don't know why. You must have moved
away. I moved away from the microphone. I'm sorry, because I was reading what Scott said to me.
He said he respects Adams, doesn't love him.
Yeah.
Well, but I think he had said that I love Washington. I don't love Washington.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. All right. Well, I think most Americans have a warm spot in their heart for Mr. Washington. Don't you? And you know, ever since the rap musical, I've really found myself having warm spots in my heart for all the early American forefathers.
Yes, but again, they're all human beings, and they have their faults and shortcomings, sure. And we shouldn't forget that. But yes, it's true, you know, that the founding fathers were an important group, but I don't think they would think that the Supreme Court should not be thinking beyond their time when times change and it's 200 years later, as the Supreme Court is in the process of doing, trying to bring us back to the late 18th century. That's preposterous.
And of course, that's why they allowed amendments to be added to the Constitution. Is that not correct?
Yes.
They wanted it to grow. They didn't want it to stay in the 1700s, 1800s. They wanted
So this whole idea of originalism.
Yeah.
If you go by originalism, there should be no political parties, not mentioned in the Constitution.
Yeah.
There should not be cabinet members. There's no such thing before Washington calls upon Congress to create it. There are so many things that have changed. And of course, women and minorities had no rights.
Yeah.
And certainly, I don't think, you know, even though they may have thought it was fine then, I don't think they could imagine, the founding fathers, that it would never change in that regard.
Yeah, and it had, you know, there are lots of things that have changed. The way people feel about, you know, gay rights. All sorts of rights have changed.
And gun rights.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court distorted in 2008 gun rights under, you know, with Scalia writing the decision, that somehow the idea of, you know, of having a militia, that he expanded it to say everybody has a right to arms. That is not the intention of the founding fathers, I can assure you.
I imagine that if we were going to go to originalism, they would have the right to have a blunderbuss with them, as opposed to an AR-15, right?
Yes. That's right.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, now, Scott and I talked quite a bit, and one of our callers that's very active when it comes to the political stuff, we talked about the January 6th committee meeting yesterday. Were you able to watch the entire thing?
I did not hear your discussion, but I did watch it, yes.
Okay.
And what happened to the, to those two women, and also what happened to the two other people? I mean, if that's not enough judgment that illegalities and criminal activity has occurred, what is?
I cried throughout. I didn't bawl and go, you.
I had tears too.
But
this
I had
about
tears
the two African American women, that their life is. But even the others, and even Mike Pence. Mike Pence was about to be assassinated. We have not heard one word from Trump saying anything otherwise or apologizing or anything. He never says he did anything wrong. The man is a menace. He needs to be incarcerated. He needs to be put on trial and put away, because he is a threat to the nation and the world, too, because he would destroy NATO. He would take us out of NATO.
Yeah, that would be a little scary. Did you hear me talking about one of my old friends saying that a progressive life is a show not worth putting on the air? He basically
I didn't hear that, but
yeah.
That indicates the man has a closed mind. He doesn't want to hear the reality of life and the truth. He wants to just have his own ideas of whatever he thinks is, you know, he accepts authoritarian ideas. That's scary.
Well, he basically said the show is full of caca.
Well,
that's okay. I mean,
he can say what he wants, but that's not a person I would go out of my way to be a friend of, because he has a closed mind and he's very narrow-minded.
He's still a friend of mine, and if he's listening today, I'm sorry you feel that way about the show, but you don't have to listen. That's the way it is. Okay, what would you say the highlight of yesterday's thing was?
I think the Rusty Bowers, Arizona speaker.
Oh, my.
I think he probably stood out more than Raffensperger and the two African-American women, if I had to say, you know, and how he believed his conscience and his principles that he could not go again, you know, he could not lie and deceive, and how anybody, including your friend, could somehow think that that's not important, that you do the right thing, you don't do what's convenient. I mean, to me, this man and others all along has to be respected for what they did, and they have suffered for it.
Well, Scott and I talked about things like that today in the show, and Scott believes that, you know, people will do what they have to do to get voted in. My feeling is that's why I ran for office, because I would do what was, I thought was the right thing, not what was expedient to the money powers. And
I think it's true. A lot of people do what they have to do to be elected and stay in office.
Yeah.
But remember, John F. Kennedy published Profiles in Courage, and we've had other cases since then of people who sacrificed, maybe lost out, but they did the right thing. You can't always do just what's good for yourself. And honestly, these people, it's not as if they come to office and they're going to be desperate if they lose their job, like many Americans. They should do what is right, because you should have an ethical and moral basis in your life. But I know a lot of people don't, and that's one of the problems of our government today. We don't have people with real principles.
Well, I said to Scott, I said, this is the perfect time in our history to rewrite some of these rules, to put guardrails back up that have either been knocked down or were never up, guardrails that will keep us from having the opportunity to, have a state government decide that they don't want to send those electoral voters. They want to send their own group. I think that this is a perfect time to start looking at some of the rules that we have found out don't work so well.
Yes, but the problem is many of those things would require a constitutional amendment.
I understand that, but
that's the problem, and that requires a 2/3 vote of each house. Never going to happen. And 3/4 of the state legislatures. That's the problem.
It is the problem, but I think throwing our hands up and saying we can't do anything about it is not an answer.
Well, I agree, but based on the fact we've only had 27 amendments in our history to the Constitution, we've had tons of other suggestions that failed. So it is very, very difficult to get a constitutional amendment under the Constitution we have now.
I will give you that, but I will also say that I think we ought to try.
We could try, but I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for it to happen.
Well, I'm not going to hold my breath on anything, quite frankly. I'm too old to hold my breath. I'll be dead before I get another breath. Which reminds me, I had a goldfish die this morning. We should have a moment of silence. Okay, that's enough.
Are you giving it a funeral?
Yeah, it was called a flush. all right. Let's see. I'm gonna look back at my phone here and find out what I was supposed to talk. Oh, okay. What? And I agree with you about what was his name again? The gentleman that you thought was a highlight.
Rusty Bowers. Yeah, Rusty. Arizona.
Now my wife looked him up because he was so devoutly religious, obviously. And my wife looked him up, and he's a Mormon. I'll tell you what, we played when I was with the DePaul University 150 years ago. We went to the Final Four in Utah, and we ended up third. But
I didn't know basketball was around 150 years ago.
Yeah, it was. Mr. Naismith threw the first ball up. But we went there, and we spent the whole month there, quite frankly. We went out, we won our first round in Utah. I think it was in Provo. We won our second round in Utah. We stayed in Utah for the whole month, basically. The kids came back to take their classes, and then they flew them back out, but most of the administrators stayed out there the whole time for cost's sake, and 'cause we didn't want to pay the airfare. But the one thing that I said when I came back from Utah, I told, and my parents, my mother was still alive, I said, the Mormon people are absolutely wonderful people. And my mother...
You're talking too low again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I turned away again. Yeah. My mother said to me, they're not all they're cracked up to be. And I said, well...
nobody is. That's true. That's true, what your mother said.
The Mormon religion has its downfalls. But
absolutely.
The people are very...
allowing polygamy for so many years, yes.
But the people are kind people in general.
Yes.
And I'll say in general. So, Rusty showed his kindness and his sincere belief in God and so forth, which I thought was refreshing.
The thing is, he voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And he's a Republican and he's a conservative. It's not like he's a liberal or progressive.
Right.
But God forbid if everybody who voted for Trump said, "I'll do anything for him." This is not an authoritarian fascist government. You don't have to agree with everything just because you vote for someone. And if they do something wrong, you need to speak up and you have to have courage. And, you know, and that's the thing. We need profiles and courage in people in public life. Unfortunately, not many of them are.
If I had three things to change about the American, we call it civilization, which it is not civilized, but if I had three things to change about it, one of them would be honesty, one of them would be doing away with hypocrisy, and I forgot what the third one was.
What's the third one?
I just forgot it. Well, I'll remember. But I think we are lacking in our ability to...
How about courage?
Maybe. Oh, that's it. That was it. Courage is the third one. We are lacking in courage. There are very few people that show courage in politics, as far as I'm concerned.
But they're the ones that make it, you know, when they... You know, after they're gone, they become famous in history because they're different from the crowd, and that's why you have to admire people like that.
Yeah, I'm going to be a person that's going to admire Liz Cheney from now on, even though I disagree with her politically.
You can disagree with her politically, but she has real principles. So does Adam Kinzinger.
Yeah.
And we have to admire that, plus the 10 House members who voted to impeach Trump, and a few of them have been defeated or they're not running, and that is sad, but that indicates the ignorance and the narrow-mindedness of the voters, that they're being manipulated by an authoritarian fascist man named Donald Trump, because it's not just me saying that. A lot of experts say the same thing. I'm not using hyperbole. It's a fact. The man is dangerous.
Well, even his niece, and she's a psychiatrist, even she says he's dangerous. But she has a lot of reasons not to like him.
Who's this?
Mary Trump.
Oh, well, yes. Niece. Well, because he's cheated her. He's cheated everybody in his life. The man has no ethics, morals, scruples, conscience. He is actually very, definitely mentally disturbed.
Now, see, you're going to have my friend all up in arms again.
But they can't see this after what he has put us through for the last 7 years, since 2015, when he announced and started an attack on every other Republican. And now we have, as I wrote about the attack on Republicans in name only, as they call it, people who are principled and don't go along with him.
Yeah.
So, and this is going on where we're having violence and threats, like at the Texas State Convention. Texas has gone bizarre. It is really out of the norm. It's very dangerous, and they're really very dangerous. The Texas Republican Party, they're talking about seceding.
Yes.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, their platform included seceding.
And they say that Biden was not legitimately elected. Neither was Donald Trump, if you're going to go by that, because of Russian collusion, which Republican Senate committee, not Democratic, came up with as a reality, is that the Republicans, you know, the Republican Party was helped by Russia, by Putin in 2016, you know, and he won only because of small margins in three states, but it was manipulated. And yet they go ahead and say that this election, where Biden won by 7 million votes, and the same electoral votes as Trump had against Hillary Clinton, it's just shocking to me, you know, how people live in their own little dream world rather than reality.
Since you brought Biden up, does it disappoint you when Democrats jump on the bandwagon of saying he's Sleepy Joe and stuff like that? That bothers me.
Well, I must say that I have my own doubts about the future, because I really think it's true with Trump also, forgetting everything else. I'm not sure we should have octogenarians in office, and now Joe Biden will be 80 in November, and if Trump got elected, he would be in his 80s partway through the term. And I would say the same for the Speaker of the House and the other top House leaders. I'd also say for Mitch McConnell, they're all 80. Those people are 80 already. I think we really do need a new generation, and I do think that it would be a good idea. I'm not sure what's going to happen, that Joe Biden decides not to run for re-election, just works on doing the best job he can, and there's nothing wrong with being a one-term president and doing the best you can, but I think we really should have a major competition among alternatives in both parties, and not just, you know, give it to Trump in theory, or to Biden. That would be my thoughts. But we'll see what happens. If he runs, I will support him. But I am concerned, you know, about the aging process.
So Senator Clyburn talked about that, and he's
House Member Clyburn.
He said,
and they seem fine. But again, it's time for a younger generation to come to power. We've never had a government so old as we do now, including in Congress and even on the courts, especially on the Supreme Court. It's time for Clarence Thomas to leave. He's been there long enough, but he's not leaving, even though his wife is involved in felonious action.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be investigated. But I'm saying it's dangerous to have such an old government. I think we need new leadership.
Well, aren't we an old country? I mean, we are getting older.
We're young compared to European countries. Well, only 250 years old.
But I think people are living much longer now.
Yes, but not being president or Speaker of the House or on the Supreme Court. Of course, we could all, like you're working, I work, that's fine, but I'm not working like I did when I was younger. And I don't think anybody should have the stress of office, of those kind of positions, at such an advanced age, in theory. But so far it's been that way, but eventually it's got to change.
I personally believe that I'm smarter at 76 than I was at 36.
Okay, yes, smarter, and I could say maybe I am too, but again, we're not stressed every day with the burdens of the world or the burdens of Congress.
You don't have my wife.
What's that?
You don't have my wife.
I don't know if she wanted to hear that.
I hope
that.
She's not on the air. I hope she's not listening.
We all have our issues at home in some way or other. So the point is, though, having the burden of the world on your shoulders or the government is really something that should be for younger people.
What would you say was the lowest point yesterday in the committee meeting?
Lowest.
Yeah,
well, I think the fact of these two women being threatened
in the way they were, and having
to leave their home for two months and never really feeling secure and safe anymore, there should be some kind of compensation financially to make their lives better. I think it should be charged against Donald Trump in civil lawsuit. Really.
Yes, I agree. Now, it'll take 400 years to get that through the courts. I think the government should respond somehow or other, and I'm guessing that after that speech yesterday that both of them were involved in, I'm guessing there are people that are going to step up and help them out. I hope there are.
I wish I could, but any of us could be the victims
like that. Yeah. And that's one of the things that people like Mr. Trump count on, is that it'll take so long, people just throw their hands up and say, oh, to heck with it. Or it'll cost so much money, they throw their hands up and say, oh, to heck with it.
Well, I do think he's going to face lawsuits in Georgia and New York, civil lawsuits if he's criminal. I think there's no question he's going to be indicted on those. But as far as what the Justice Department is going to do, I don't know.
Now, Scott raised an interesting question. He's done this 2 weeks in a row, and I think it's an interesting question. Why does our Attorney General not indict right now on what he has? Does he not have enough to indict? Or, I keep telling him, he's piling stuff up.
Yeah, so, you have to have the case be the strongest it can be in order to have a chance to make it stick. Yeah.
Right, because there are lots of ways to sneak out or wriggle your way out of one or two indictments, but if you have 45 or 110 indictments, it's going to be harder to squeeze out of all of them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
It's a tough position to be in, though.
Oh, yeah.
To be Attorney General is very tough.
I'm sure
he wishes he had been confirmed to the Supreme Court, as he was supposed to be in 2016.
Yep.
Then it would have been somebody else would have been Attorney General.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, the Supreme Court. Since we're talking about the Supreme Court, do you think there's anything that you can read into the fact that they didn't bring up the Roe versus Wade?
Well, they're going to leave it for the last day, probably late next week. You know, they build up to the most significant cases at the end of June. So I think by next Thursday, June 30th, or next Tuesday, depending on what their last day is. But I think they have 14 cases left. Some of them are not as significant. So I think it's going to probably be on June 30th that they're going to announce. They seem to do it on Tuesday and Thursday.
Do you think there'll be violence in the street because of it?
I don't know about violence. There'll be demonstrations. I don't want to use the word violence. Violence never is the answer.
And it's usually brought on by men, and they're not going to care about Roe versus Wade, the type of men that'll be
violent. I just think it's scary that you have young girls being raped and, you know, having to have children at age 12 or things like that.
Yeah.
It just, it sickens me that we have people, including women, who seem to think it's fine that, you know, that every single fetus must be born, and not caring about the life of the woman or the girl that's, in many cases, not prepared to be a mother.
My feeling on this is that they haven't had to face it themselves live. If they had to face something like that themselves, they might have a different concept. They might feel differently.
It's very sad, but there'll still be states that will have abortions, but if you're poor, you probably will not be able to fly out to go to another state to be able to get an abortion. So again, it's going to affect poor women and minority women, even poor white women, and keep them down and in poverty, and the government's not going to provide adequate care for them to be mothers or take care of their children. So the children are born, and then it's not going to be important what happens to them.
Yeah,
nobody's going to give a damn.
They'll be called welfare mothers by the right.
Yeah. And all those religious people will not give them adequate support, believe
me. Well, that's what I'm afraid of, yeah. Now, and the one thing I was thinking about, my wife and I talked about this, how about if all the states that allow abortions get together, or all the people that think people can't afford to get out to those states, what about, you know, setting up a fund to help those women get to...
And they possibly will do that.
I think they will, but then somebody's going to make that illegal, too.
The state of Oklahoma wants to make it you can't even fly out of the state to get an abortion. There will have to be court cases in order to prevent that from going into effect, because that's totally...
I don't see how that could possibly be constitutional, that you have to...
Well, but it'll have to
permission.
Go to court. So I think a lot of things will be delayed. A lot of these crazy laws will be delayed because there'll be court cases.
Yeah, but... this Supreme Court will make it illegal until the court case gets through.
So it seems, unless Chief Justice Roberts gets, supposedly, Brett Kavanaugh to join with him to have limits but not get rid of abortion.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't have much hope, you know, but we'll have to see.
Well, we are looking at the edge of maybe having a law about gun control or gun safety.
Yes, it seems like the first legislation since the Brady Bill in 1994.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
But it's not much change, but a little change, so it's good, certainly, but it's certainly not going to stop most of what goes on, though.
A very bright man said a long journey begins with the first step.
What happened in Uvalde, Texas, so they were more concerned about the cops than they were about the kids. I understand nobody wants to get killed, but when you're a cop, you have to face that you might be in danger, but your job is to protect others.
Yeah, that's part of the deal, isn't it? I mean, if you want to be a cop, you have to understand that someday you may have to face that situation.
Just the same as if you're in the military.
Yeah.
If you're in the military, you might get killed.
Yeah.
That's part of being in the military.
And I remember standing in line at the end of basic training, and everybody was being given their orders of where they were going. And if you got 11 Bravo, that meant you were infantry, and that meant you were going directly to Vietnam. You might go to advanced infantry training.
So you didn't actually know what was going to happen then?
No, you didn't. Oh, I did, because I had pre-cut orders to go to the Army field then. But we stood in line, and they read off the orders for the different people. And two of the young men that were in line passed out when they found out they had 11 Bravo. They were so frightened of going.
And what happened?
Vietnam.
Were they sent to Vietnam?
I don't know. They were.
Oh my God.
They were revived and stood back up, and we finished the call.
Ooh,
and
that's shocking to
that.
That
was kind of scary.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was kind of sad because one of the kids, I'm sure, had a learning disability, and he was scared to death. I know that he didn't think he was going to end up going to Vietnam, but
you don't know if he was sent to Vietnam.
No,
he had a learning disability.
No.
He should not have been sent there.
No, I don't think he should have either, but it was just a learning disability. It wasn't like he had a club foot or anything like that, because he wouldn't have made it in. But
but imagine, they went to basic training. Why, what if they were ridiculed after by having passed out?
They were ridiculed. One of them was ridiculed throughout his 9 weeks in basic training for everything he did.
Oh, my God. That's sad.
Yeah, I wrote a short story play about him because he was a very humorous young man. His name was Kolarski, and he did a lot of things that were really quite funny. And I wasn't making fun of him when I wrote this play about it, about some of the things he did. It was just that he was so lighthearted that it made you laugh at some of the things that happened around him.
Idea that after passing out somebody would ridicule you, the meanness and nastiness of young people, you know?
And it was true. It was one of the guys was a strapping young bull, and he just, both of them, well, Kolarski passed out first, and then this guy, who was near him, passed out as well, and it might have been, you know, one of those sympathetic passing outs or something. I don't know. But anyway, that was back in the Vietnam era time, and everybody who was in basic training were kind of frightened that they might be going directly to Vietnam.
Were they draftees, these two people, or they were volunteers?
I'm pretty sure that Kolarski was a draftee. I don't know about the other young man.
But really sad.
Yeah, it was. Uvalde. Yeah, what's going to happen there? Now, this is a question I've been meaning to ask you for a couple of weeks. Why does it do the governor of the state of Texas good to have stonewalled this and not really come out and said anything about it? What good does that do? Is it because he made some suggestions of what they should have done, or what do you think?
He is a corrupt man, just like the governor of Florida.
We'll buy
and
that.
He's arrogant, and he just wants to get past the election against Beto O'Rourke. I hope he's defeated. It's going to be difficult, but there's hope that he can, because the man is really a horrible person. He's the worst governor Texas has ever had, and his attorney general, Ken Paxton, has been indicted, but he still keeps on winning the attorney general. I don't know what's going on with that. The government of Texas really needs to be restructured. It's just so corrupt.
Why does putting off the facts of what happened in Uvalde help?
Well, because if he gets reelected, whatever's said against him after doesn't affect him.
Oh, okay. I see. I got you now. I see.
Everything is, like Scott said, just getting reelected. So if you hide things, you cover up, and if enough people who don't care, like maybe somebody you know, based on what you told me about somebody not liking the show,
yeah,
so they don't give a damn.
Well, the good thing is,
that's really horrible.
The good thing is he listens to the show. So we got another listener. He may not listen anymore, but anyway. All right, let's get on with this. Should Trump, you know, Trump's kind of hinting with the idea that he should be given equal time to the January 6th committee.
Give him equal time under oath. That's fine.
Exactly what I said.
Everything he says he'll be held accountable for.
And he won't do that.
He can't just be an interview with a news media person. He's got to be under oath.
Yeah, he
fine,
won't,
let him have it.
He won't do it under oath. I would.
No, because he doesn't know what to say, and he's not going to do what Hillary Clinton did about Libya for 11 hours years ago, and it was brilliant. And they had nothing to say after that, but they've been abusing and promoting the conspiracy theory about Libya for all that time to gain seats and all that. But she was brilliant. She is brilliant. Whatever you say about her, she's a brilliant woman, Hillary Clinton.
And
Donald Trump is not brilliant. He wouldn't be able to explain, and he would never be able to justify what has happened.
And she never took the Fifth Amendment once.
No, and he should not be able to either. Let him testify. Let him have full attention, and people will see what he's all about. And if he lies, which he has done every day since he was at least a teenager, picking on kids and being a bully then from that point on, then he should be facing prosecution. Let him do it. He won't do it.
I agree with you. I would like to have him get equal time. I wonder if he would lie about his audience if he was given equal
time. He'll lie about everything. He's even turned against his own daughter the way he reacted to what she had to say to the committee. And also now he's turning against John Eastman, the lawyer who illegally was promoting his ideas of how to overcome the electoral vote. And he continues to do it, and now he claims he doesn't know John Eastman well, when he knows him very well.
Yeah.
He abandons everybody. starting with Michael Cohen and all the way down. And even now he starts criticizing Kevin McCarthy for not having Republicans on the committee that were critical, other than, you know, Cheney and Kinzinger. Well, he didn't say that then, but so he's attacking even Kevin McCarthy. And I think that's a sign that if the Republicans somehow win the House, that he will work to have Kevin McCarthy not be Speaker of the House.
That would be interesting. Yeah, that would be quite a fight, wouldn't it? Now, I don't understand what Trump holds on people that they can't see.
Everybody's afraid of him because apparently having their position is more important than having any principles.
I guess, and that's basically
any ethics or morals.
That's basically,
which says a lot about their lack of character.
That's basically what Scott was saying today, and I didn't know how to respond to that because, unfortunately, I think I agree with him that.
Well, in that sense, I do agree. These people have no guts, no courage. And you would think, let's say they lose. After a lot of politicians, and if they lose, they don't go bankrupt. They don't end up on the street homeless. So they don't have their job anymore. They still have been in Congress or whatever position, and they have that record. But it doesn't mean you have to be there forever and ever.
They're going to write a book and make a lot of money.
Yes, they can speak also.
Yeah.
Make speeches. So it's actually a disease that they can't accept the idea maybe they'll lose office. So what? Have principles and have guts and courage, because when you're gone, you want to have a good reputation. And these people will not have good reputations.
Well, and I kept saying to Scott, that was not the way I ran. When I ran for office,
you know, you didn't.
I ran based on, I will tell you the way I think it should be. And if you disagree, that's fine. I only got 30% of the vote. So obviously, and the lady who is still in that position, she's a very pro-gun person and a very anti-abortion person. And so
until somebody in her family needs an abortion, or until somehow some crime visits people that are close to, that she loves, it's so easy to do when you always think it doesn't affect you.
That's right. And I mentioned that to Scott today. I said, maybe it was Scott, but anyway, I mentioned today that until it affects you personally, you can be brave as all get out. But when it affects you personally, then you're going to start to say, well, wait a minute. My 12-year-old daughter was raped by a guy. I really
talk a little too low again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was backing away from the microphone.
Yeah, I hear a little bit, but I couldn't quite get it yet. So I'm saying that this woman may have won 70% of the vote. That indicates a lack of character of the people, that so many are manipulated to vote for her. It's one thing to win, but to win that much is a sad commentary on voters.
Well, Ohio right now is quite a bit like Florida.
So is Florida,
Yeah, much like Florida. Okay, how about a couple of little things that kind of snuck in? The Supreme Court said that Maine cannot exclude religious schools from tuition assistance. Now, how in the world is that keeping church separated from state?
It's not.
Okay.
This is a right-wing Christian conservative court.
Okay. So that's basically what that comes from.
Yes.
Okay.
And they are distorting the meaning of the First Amendment.
Well, they basically said this is the case in Maine, because apparently Maine has some sort of shaky rules about how far you can go with that. But they did not say it's the case throughout the nation. They just said...
But it becomes a precedent for other cases.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yes.
Precedents are important until they're not important, like Roe v. Wade. That's not important to them anymore, even though that's a 50-year precedent.
No.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Meanwhile, Justice Thomas, his wife has been involved in trying to overthrow the election results, and he's the only one who was trying to bring up a case to the court. It was 8-1 again. All those court cases, including up to the Supreme Court, 62 cases, I think, all repudiated it, but he voted on the other side. Yeah. He should have recused himself, and he honestly should be forced off the court, but of course it's not going to happen. Even if he got impeached, which is easy, you only have to get, majority of the House, but he's never going to be removed, and he and his wife are arrogant, and they're going to get away with it.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right there. Now, do you believe that we should go to a term limits thing with the Supreme Court?
Yes, and we could do that, but again, that would, I guess, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that could be a legislation. It would never happen anyway, or a constitutional amendment, but I would think there should be limits. Nobody should be on the court for 36 years like Justice Douglas was, I think there should be a limit, really. There's talk of having an 18-year term in the future.
Yeah, I've heard
and having it set up that the people on the court are there, but in the future, every 2 years, it'd be a court appointment, and eventually each president would get two appointments in 4 years. It could be done, but it's not going to be done unless the party balance changes.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, don't they have to... That can be filibustered, can it not?
Okay, everything can be filibustered.
Yeah,
the filibuster should be made less than 60. Used to be 67 until the 1970s.
Really?
So it's not as bad as it was, but it really should be 55, I think, to make it a little easier to get things done. But, you know, the fact is the system is set up to prevent change between the filibuster, between the fact that the Senate, also every state is equal, even though Wyoming has 500,000 and California has 40 million. That's
yeah.
Extremes. You know, and the Electoral College, honestly, is the only position that the popular vote does not decide who wins. Every other position statewide, every other position for the Congress is based on who gets the most votes. But it's part of the system, and it's never going to change because the conservative right wing doesn't want it because they benefit from it.
Well, right now, that's the way it is. I guess we... You
always has been, but now it's worse.
Yeah. Now, also, the Supreme Court came down and said some gun crimes are not crimes of violence. How can a gun crime not be
I
a
have no idea,
crime
but
of
I
violence?
Think the court is way off on the extreme.
Oh, my.
And Chief Justice Roberts, unless he gets some success on this the next week on abortion and other things, he's going to go down as, because it's going to be named, it's his court, as you say, he's going to go down as one of the worst Supreme Court Chief Justices because he lost control of his of the group. And it's not going to be like Chief Justice Warren or Chief Justice John Marshall. So it's just sad, the whole thing. He's lost control, and we have right-wing extremism on the court.
Well, I just got a notification that Fetterman is on the verge of flipping Pennsylvania. Now, whether that's true or not, it may just be a way of getting donations from me. But do you know who Fetterman is, who I'm talking
yes,
about?
Yes, he's the Senate candidate for the Democrats, who unfortunately had a stroke.
Yes, he had a stroke, but he won quite handily, if I recall correctly.
Yes, but I'm concerned about his health, and it might affect him in the race against Dr. Oz, a real true phony.
Yeah. Well, now, do you believe that we should have not only an age check on our politicians, but a health check on
our
politicians?
Well, we could say yes, but, you know, he was fine until he wasn't. There's nobody can ever know with your health. You could be fine and then not be fine. So how do you really...
Yeah.
I do think there should be somehow psychological testing, not so much other. But even there, there'll be objections to it, and then how do you know which psychological testing is legitimate?
Yeah.
I think if there'd been psychological testing, Donald Trump would not have been able to be president.
Well, I... the day I walked in with my heart attack rolling, I thought I was fine. That's, you know... You're fine until you're not. Yeah, you don't
know. I also had heart surgery 18 years ago on June 25th, 04. I felt fine, but then I had some pain, and they said it's quadruple bypass. So
it's
18 years I made it through. I'm thankful, but you just never know what's going to happen.
Well, society, not society, but our medicine has gone so far that I'm not sure that there's really any reason to worry about somebody because they have had a, you know, heart attack or...
Well, Lyndon Johnson had a heart attack in 1955, but he still ran for vice president and became president. I was aware of that. Once he became president, was worried about it. He died of a heart attack, but it was after he was out of office. But, you know, and actually Joe Biden had aneurysms in 1988. He could have died. He had brain surgery. So, and his son had an aneurysm, and then he had ended up having cancer.
Yeah.
So there is a worry about Joe Biden, but he's made it to 79 plus. But I do think going for a second term now is playing with fate. And again, nobody knows the future. But I'm really, even though I do admire him, I do think it would be a good idea if he decided not to run a second term.
Well, I'm not sure where I think he's the right man for the right for this time. I really
so for the next next 6.5 years we're talking about. We're not talking about the next 2.5 years.
Yeah, I think I'd vote for him.
Well, if he's nominated, I will vote for him.
Yeah.
But again, if you look at leadings other than kings or popes, in their 80s is only really the case of Winston Churchill, and he was starting to decline in the 80s, and Konrad Adenauer of what was then West Germany. But really, leaders other than kings, you know, it's hereditary, or pope, do not usually govern in their 80s.
Well, now, I was going to mention this earlier, and I lost my track, but Congressman Clyburn said, if Joe Biden doesn't run, my second choice would be Kamala Harris. And I think I agree with that.
Yes, but my ready Newt Gingrich has gone on the attack against Kamala Harris.
Of course he has.
Newt Gingrich, I want to point out, Newt Gingrich, had he been picked to be VP, would have done what Trump wanted, unlike Mike Pence. He would have tried to mess up the result, because he is a dangerous traitor to the country, Newt Gingrich. He's caused so much of the grief in the last 30 years with his confrontational attitude. But he claims Kamala Harris would be the worst president in American history, and that she's totally unqualified. Of course, he's wrong, but that's what he's saying already. Because the theory is that, well, maybe something might happen to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be president this term.
Well, now, Joe Biden was attacked before he announced that he was going to go because the Republican Party knew he was the most likely choice. And I think the same thing is going on with Kamala. They will attack her if she's most likely choice.
Yeah, but they're saying she's not qualified. She was Attorney General of California. She was a senator. She was DA of San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, I hate to say it because I don't want it, but I'm going to say it, partly it's because she's a woman and because she's mixed race, just like with Obama. Partly that. It's not all. Even being just a woman is enough, but I think that's a lot of this. There's a lot of racism and misogyny mixed in.
I think you're absolutely right. In 2045, I told this to a friend the other day, in 2045, we'll all be tan.
We'll be what? I'm sorry.
We'll all be tan. We will no longer have...
There's too much emphasis on race.
Yes.
This white supremacist concept needs to go. It really does. I agree.
Absolutely. Well, we're getting down to our last minute. The last minute. Got anything we got to talk about before next week? You're going to be with us next week, right? But not the following week?
Yes, on July 6th I'll be away, but
that's
next
right.
week I'll be there. Well, of course, I wrote about the corruption, which, you know,
yes.
he was going to ask me.
I'm sorry.
The six periods of major corruption under presidents, all Republicans. Grant, Harding, Nixon, Reagan, Bush 2, and now Trump.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We ran out of time. I should have asked on that. But
and also, the major economic downturn since 1953, all of them have been under Republicans, except under Jimmy Carter in 1980. And that's reality, whether people accept it or not.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we, as an American people, we can get things straightened out here sometime. Soon.
Yes. Anyway,
right.
It went well today.
Okay.
Except when
I turned away. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's really good, though.
All right.
It was a good hour, and I thank you for having me, and I'll see you next week, but not July 6th.
Right. Have a great day, and thanks for coming on, Dr. Feinman.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM.